This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our July 10th, 2017 edition of Invest Talk. And as always, we are here to help you become an above average investor and not get weighed down by the poor decision making that most beginners and average investors tend to make. So we're here to help you in any way we can. And how do we, you know, we have questions like, how do we measure volatility in the market, right? And one way that we've talked about this is the VIX. And according to that yardstick, US stock market volatility remains near 25-year lows. So for now, investors are looking past any negatives out of Washington or really geopolitical issues across the world and even the weakness in the oil markets. And they're kind of remaining calm. But the big question is, how long can that last? You know, market conditions are always changing to some degree. But it happens kind of slowly. And then usually it happens all at once. Usually downside volatility happens quicker than upside volatility. So are you prepared for the change? Do you have a defensive portfolio? Do you have an aggressive portfolio? Do you have a moderate portfolio? Where are you looking to add positions to? What sectors? So let's talk about it. In a high-flying market in record territory can make any investors worry. It's understandable. You know, the markets are very expensive. So here's some therapy for market peaking anxiety. That's one of our talking points today. How do you handle that and adjust your strategy for today's market? But before we do anything else, let's hear your talking point. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278. That's our anytime line. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Hey guys, my name's Gil. I live out here in Costa Mesa, California. Just want to start off by saying thank you for doing this show and all the free knowledge you guys have given me. I would say I'm a very, very novice investor. I just started, I would probably say about a month ago. But I like to take kind of a different approach about learning. I really want to take my time in developing these skills that would make for a future value investor. Are there any books you guys recommend or any philosophical readings, whether it's history, really anything? I'd like to go all the way back to, you know, maybe even to where the market started and the people that helped revolutionize value investing. So if there's anything you guys can think of or any names to throw my way, I'd really appreciate that. Thanks again, guys.
All right, great question coming from Costa Mesa, very close to where we're at. I'm in Laguna Beach, so Costa Mesa is maybe about 15 minutes away from me. And your approach is very good. It's actually refreshing to hear your approach. Very similar to the way I learned the market, value investing, learning history of the markets, and going all the way back to not just 10 years or 15 years, where most people think that's a long time. And in reality, it's not. You have cycles that play out over multi-decades. For example, interest rate cycles are usually, you have 30 years up and 30 years down. And now we're at the end of the 30 years down and we're starting to go up, et cetera, right? And then there's stock market cycles, and there's a lot of different cycles out there that really are important for you to understand so you don't get caught in mania and panics and making bad decisions. On our website, there's actually a book section that you can go there, and there's some really good ones. There's five different sections. One's classics like The World's Greatest Stock Trader. That's about Jesse Livermore. There's Beating the Street by Peter Lynch. That's a great starter book. I believe that was the first book I ever read when I was getting into things. I love Extraordinary Popular Delusions, The Madness of Crowds. I'm a history buff. I love understanding history. And you talked about going back to the beginning of markets. Well, that, you know, goes back to the tulip bubble and all the different, the South Sea bubble. And there's a lot of different bubbles that happen throughout the world. And it's good to know and understand how those were formed and the psychology behind them. So like I said, you don't get caught in those type of things. And then there's a fundamental analysis section. You have The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham. That's always a classic. You have Securities Analysis and Business Valuation on Wall Street. That's another classic as well. There's a few good ones on there. Some economic section, personal finance, technical analysis, etc. So a lot of great books on our site if you want to go check those out. We don't make any money on those. We just have them there. So you guys can have a little bit of a guide to where to begin your journey. You know, he's only a month in. You have a lot of time. A lot of time. Take your time. I'm glad you recognize that you are taking your time to learn. And this is something that takes a while. You're not going to learn it in a month or a year. It really takes many, many years to really grasp this to its full extent. And it takes a lot of time and discipline as well. So thanks for calling in. I hope that helped. And I hope that reading list on our site will get you on the right track. Now, I'm here to answer your money questions, whether it's about real estate investing or commodity trading. Maybe you have a question about short selling. You know, short selling is a way for investors to earn money from a falling market. Now, but even though it's a really simple principle, it can be difficult for many to grasp. So how does it work? How can it be used? We could talk about that. Now, a short seller is someone who is selling a company stock that they think is going to go down in value. It's just the opposite of buying low and selling high. You're hoping to sell high now and buy back the stock later at a lower price. So you have to borrow the shares because you don't currently own it. So to add a short position in your portfolio, your broker will sell someone else's shares to pay back the shares you sold to the individual broker that lent them to you. The object is for the stock to go down so that you can buy them back at a lower price. And then you return it back to your broker, right? You borrow it. That's why it's called being short the stock, because you short it. You just sold it. You never owned it, but you're short it. Now, if the price goes up, however, you have to eventually buy the stock back at a higher price. So that's like buying high and selling low. Then you lose money. Now, theoretically, short selling is riskier than just buying a stock because you potentially have unlimited losses, right? You short a stock, could go up tenfold. Whereas you buy a stock, you own a stock, most you can lose is that amount you put in it, 100%. Okay, so that's why they say selling short can be more risky, or is more risky in general, than buying long. Now, short sellers tend to be more sophisticated than the average investor, so watching for short covering or increased short selling in the market can be a sign of a new direction or trend developing. So watch these metrics closely, especially after major moves in the market. Now, therapy for those suffering from market peak anxiety. It's one of our main talking points today, but also have some others as well. One is why you shouldn't solely buy stocks for dividend yields. Why that is a poor idea. We're going to talk about that. Also, the labor market, a little update on that. We had the jobs number come out on Friday, and it was pretty good. We're going to go over what it showed and what it shows for the economy and what that might mean for the markets and Fed policy going forward. And then lastly, the deductions that may be killed by tax reform. There is tax reform being talked about in Congress by the president. Is it going to get passed this year? Absolutely not. Is it going to get passed next year? Maybe. Most likely, I think it probably won't be passed till 2019. Just seeing how the health care bill has gone and the glacial pace of change in Washington right now. And, you know, Trump isn't really pushing that along 6 months into his presidency. So we're going to talk about what deductions may be killed in his tax reform. You know, he has 4 years to do it, so the odds are it'll make it happen. It's just a matter of what that might look like, and are some of your tax deductions going to go away. So those are what's on my mind for today. But what's on yours? I want to hear from you. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. So what's the secret to great investing? One is knowing your limitations, knowing yourself. Don't jump in on short selling unless you understand it, right? Got questions? 888-99-CHARTS, so you get through right now.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Andy from San Diego. Hey, guys, I wanted to get your take on Buffalo Wild Wings, BWLD. Said it's fallen below 130 here. Recent, had a tough go the last couple months. Just wanted to get your take on it. Looking for a short-term play, maybe get a bounce of, you know, 6, 8, 10, 15%, if not more, possibly the next month, holding it for a month to a year. Let me know what you guys think. Your advice is greatly appreciated. Thanks.
All right, he's looking at Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings, this is a chain of quick, casual restaurants all over the U.S. and Canada. They have about 1,200 stores, 1,250 stores. Doesn't pay a dividend. Its revenue growth is slowing, and that's why the stock is really taking a hit. You know, this is what I talk about with growth names. When growth names start to mature and their growth suddenly goes from really good to just okay, the stock valuation gets hit, even if they're making more money, which that's what's happening at Buffalo Wild Wings, right? A year ago, they were growing their revenues in the mid-teens, 20% range. Well, the last two quarters, it's 5% last quarter, 1% the quarter before. Earnings were down 34% two quarters ago, 19% last quarter. So you're seeing their business model mature a little bit. Maybe the less people are eating out, and they're probably hurt by, think of the NBA playoffs were kind of short, right? They're all about sports, and the more sporting events that happen, the more people are going to go into Buffalo Wild Wings and throw their TVs and enjoy the games. So sure, that might have hit them as well. So there's a lot of factors. It's very expensive, and that's what happens. Like I said, growth slows down, and suddenly the valuations come back down to earth. And you've seen the price decline from about over $200 a share. Now we're at $122 a share. Over 200 in 2015. So you're about 2 years from that peak, and it's down about 40%. Because of that slowing of growth. Okay, so this is a perfect example of growth name slowing, and yields, operating yields 5.5%. Still not great, even though it's declined, it's still not, even though prices declined, the operating earnings yields hasn't risen fast enough for me or high enough yet to get to a place where I'd say, okay, this valuation is very good, right? So the first level, it is coming up on some good technical support, though, at 110. There's going to be a lot of good technical support there at 110. But ultimately, my level is $88. At $88 a share, I would love to pick up Buffalo Wild Wings. But I wouldn't. At 110, there'll be some support. You might get a short-term bounce. But longer term, the strong, strong support is at $88 a share. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. Now, Invest Talk is a conversation, so let's get your voice into the mix. 888-99-CHART is how to get through anytime. Let's go to Wendy in Chino Hills. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm doing well. What can I do for you?
One stock, the Retail Opportunity Investment. Investments Corporation. I think it's the RO something.
Okay. ROIC. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's just I want to know, yo, what do you think of this company, and if it's a good company to buy.
Okay, and what's your goal? Are you trying to get that dividend, the growth, or what are you trying to get out of this?
I would say mostly the dividend.
Dividend, okay.
Yeah.
So this is a REIT. This is a REIT that acquires, owns, leases, and manages a portfolio of necessity-based retail properties in the West Coast. Do you know what that means? I'm trying to remember what that means. It's retail focused, community and neighborhood shopping centers. So it's kind of strip malls. It's from the sounds of it. If I look at their cash flows, they are negative. Free cash flows are negative. That worries me a little bit. They've been investing. Let me look at their leverage. Not too bad for a REIT. Not a ton of debt. Its payout ratio is high, but that's typical of a REIT. So I'm not too worried about that, to be honest with you. I don't know. My issue is what sector it's in, right? It's in the retail space. And I do think there's a secular decline in retail. I think retail will change its face. There's going to be an oversupply. We're over retailed. We have too many retail square feet per individual in this country, and that's going to shrink naturally because of the rise of online shopping, but also millennials. You know, millennials aren't big shoppers. They tend to be more about traveling and experiences than material things, and so there's multiple factors that are kind of weighing on this sector. So I honestly, I don't love it. It's not a bad company. It's just in a bad area of the economy right now. And I just don't like the secular trends. So I would go somewhere else for this. To me, this is too high risk. It doesn't look like it's going to bottom till at least $18 a share. I'm actually thinking more like $16 a share is where I would say, okay, there's some value here. But I think it's definitely going to go there, and so I wouldn't be picking it up right now.
Is it going there soon? I mean,
well,
it's
certainly downtrending. So I think there's more. It's telling me it depends on what you mean by soon. Soon is a subjective term. So is a week soon? Is it going to be there a week? No. A year, possibly. I don't have a crystal ball, but I definitely think this is headed lower, and I would not be buying ROIC. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
8899 chart. 8899-242-4278. Now, a lot of people are worried about the market peaking here, and I'm one of them, frankly. But the big question is, how do you handle that with your investments? How do you handle that skittishness or that nervousness of buying near all-time highs when the market's very expensive and the Fed's raising rates, which isn't a good combination? Well, I think number one is you need to have a plan. And your plan has to involve having a proper allocation, right? That's what we talk about with clients. When our listeners call in and they talk about becoming a client, what we do is say, okay, what's your current allocation? What type of risk are you taking? Okay. Then we say, what's your risk tolerance? What type of investor are you? Are you invested like that, right? And if you aren't, then we can get you into that. If you are, then maybe we can rebalance that into something that is performing even better or better than what you're currently doing, right? And so that's what you need to do as an individual who's trying to do it on your own is you need to have a plan, right? We have plans for our different strategies, and we talk about them and hash them out. And you need to do that with yourself. And you have to figure out what level of risk you're willing to take, and how do you invest that over time? Not just today, but going forward. You know, it's like a 401k. You have a 401k, you're putting money in consistently. And how's your allocation? And do you put that in that allocation right then every time you get a paycheck? Or do you wait a while till you get some money saved up and then you put it to work? And the answer to the market skittishness is really, what type of investor are you? Are you a high-risk investor? Are you looking long-term? Are you a buy and holder? Are you a trader? If you're a trader, well, then you want to have some dry powder. If you're a long-term investor, buy and hold, you know, you just dollar-cost average in, market goes down, great. You're going to get in at a better price, right? So it's understandable to be skittish and nervous about the market, but it doesn't mean that there's no opportunities either, okay? And I talked about retail with ROIC. This is to me, not a good opportunity, even though it's called a retail opportunity. That's the name of the REIT. But there are other opportunities in the retail space that are being thrown out, being thrown out the bathwater, and you can pick up great values right now. So don't just shun the market completely. Go out there, find the great values. Now we're at the halfway mark. Plenty of time to get your question into the program. I want to hear from you at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a number from KPP Financial. It's reason number 2 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Reducing risk is the number one priority for everyone these days. In a low interest rate environment, you crave those great returns that stocks can give, but you're afraid of the risk. So what's the formula? Well, Steve can help you come up with an answer that fits your life situation. And there's never any charge for a complete portfolio checkup for our Invest Talk listeners, and no obligation of any kind either. To schedule your 1 hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review. Or if you'd rather, call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now let's continue with the podcast. Now, back to the Money Talk. Financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein is ready for your money question right now. And maybe you want to talk about real estate. He's up for that. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to Mac in Los Gatos. How you doing, Mac?
Hello, Justin. I was calling about B&G Foods, BGS.
Okay.
I bought it around $41, and it was dropping ever since I bought it. And I was wondering if you could, any information on why it's dropping.
Yeah, well, they did have some a couple poor earnings figures over the last couple quarters. That's, I mean, the main reason. But we're not. We actually own this for a lot of our clients. We bought it. Actually, around here a while ago, we've held it for a long time. So we've been collecting the nice 5.6% dividend for a while. Wrote it up, and obviously now we're writing it back down. But we have a lot of faith in the company and the business. This is a packaged food company. They have brands like Cream of Wheat and Pirate's Booty and all types of brands that you probably see every day in the grocery store. And it's certainly getting hit by with the whole retail sector overall. I think that's really the main reason, and worries that for God knows what reason, the market's thinking that they're going to be hurt by this Amazon, Amazon's rise. And, you know, they've maintained, Amazon's been rising for 15 years, and their profit margins have remained pretty much, their gross profit margins have stayed right at the 30% level for forever, pretty much. So in the last 10 years anyway. And so it's not really changing.
Okay.
It's actually up from 2014 when that was at 29.2, their gross margins, and the trailing 12 months were at 31.5. So, you know, it stays right around there. And that's really where I would see an issue. Their revenue growth is still strong. I would worry if their gross margins started to decline. That would mean that they're, because of the retail dynamics in the marketplace, they are having to discount products and get things out the door, and they're doing that in at the sake of margins. And I'm not seeing that, and we're not seeing that. So I think this is actually an opportunity to pick up more. And I think it's pretty close. 31 is giant support. 31 is really, really big support. I don't see it going much below that. And I think we're very close to some support. So I like it.
What about the payout ratio on the dividends versus the earnings?
Yeah, it is elevated. I'll say that. So we're near the 100% mark on the payout ratio is 100%, but the cash dividend payout ratio is about 92%. So I don't see them hiking their dividend anytime soon. I'll definitely say that. But I think they can sustain it for a while. They have a fairly strong balance sheet, and at these levels, I think they're a well-run business, and I think this is a good value here.
Very good. Thanks for your help.
No problem, Mac. Thanks for calling. That was B&G Foods. BGS is the symbol. Now, that's a good segue into why buying stocks solely for dividends, dividend yield, is a poor bet. And B&G Foods yields about 5.6%, so this is a good segue. And this is an example where you have to do your analysis, where I like B&G Foods, but there's other companies out there that yielding 5.5% that I just don't like at all, right? And we're kind of in a really weird environment right now where investors are buying bonds for capital appreciation and they're buying stocks for income, which is an upside down world. And what you have to understand about this is that that stock returns come from multiple places, okay? Comes from dividends, but it also comes from stock appreciation. And stock appreciation is mathematically driven by two different variables. One is earnings growth, right? If earnings grow over time, the price of the stock is going to grow over time. And the other is PE changes, the change in the PE ratio. And usually that has to do with interest rates. When interest rates go down, PE ratios tend to be elevated, right? Because the inverse of the PE ratio is the earnings yield. And so when bond yields are very low, investors are going to be okay with lower earnings yields, meaning higher PEs. Okay, that's the inverse relationship there, right? So let's go with one example, and that is Coke. Okay, over the last 5 years, if you add in the dividend and earnings growth and PE growth, you're going to get a 13% total return, including those factors, right? 4% from dividends, 2% from earnings growth, and 7% from PE expansion. That's annualized over the last 5 years. So a total of about 13%. Now, if you bought that stock today, bought Coke today, you are buying it at a PE ratio of about 25, where 5 years ago, it was only 18. Okay, so you're seeing that the P ratio expansion over that time, the last 5 years, mainly because interest rates have gone down. So if you're buying it now, you're going to get a lower dividend yield, about 3%. And the question is, where is the rest of the return going to come from? Is it going to come from earnings growth? Probably not. Coke's a pretty stale old business. They have some issues with, you know, health trends in the country, et cetera. And it's just a very expensive stock. I mean, revenue's around 11% last quarter, earnings down 4%. So this is an anti-growth company, trading at a P/E ratio about 20, in the mid-20s. So could the P/E ratio expand? Sure, it could, but that's kind of gambling, right? Could it go from 25 to 35 or 50? Sure, the P/E ratio could expand, meaning the price goes up and earnings do nothing. But the odds are very low, right? That's going to happen. Interest rates are going to have to go to very, very low rates for that to happen. Now, let's revisit that equation. Let's say you have a P ratio of 3%, dividend yield of 3%, and this P ratio declines from 25 to 15% over the next 5 years. And there's no earnings growth. And that's pretty much what you're seeing, no earnings growth. Well, what would your return be? Well, your return would be -7%. -7% per year, if that were to be the case. So this is a good example of why when you're looking at investing in dividend stocks, you need to have earnings growth to some degree, right? And you need to have decent valuation to where if the valuation starts to maybe decline to its historical average or maybe the low end of its average, you're not going to have massive price depreciation like you will probably in Coke. Okay? So you have to understand that this is investing is a game, is an endeavor that involves multiple factors. You know, investing in stocks isn't just about knowing about the economy. It's not just about knowing how to analyze a business. It's not just about knowing where interest rates are going or headed and understanding the bond market. It's all of those things. They all play into the investment picture. And if you ignore that factor and you're only focusing on the dividend yield or just the growth of a company or the story about a company and its technology or its growth of in its industry or whatever that is, then you're missing a large chunk of the picture. Right? It's like driving while only looking in your own lane and not looking at what else is around you, where the exits are, where the other cars are, where the other lanes are, where the signals are, where the stop signs are. All of those factors go into driving, right? So same thing when investing. You have to be multifaceted and understand various aspects of the investing game. Now here's an investing term you should know. It's called working capital. Working capital is a measure of both a company's efficiency and its short-term financial health. Now, how do you calculate working capital? One is current assets minus current liabilities. So working capital ratio is indicates whether a company has enough short-term assets to cover its short-term debt. Now, anything below 1 indicates negative working capital. Anything over 2 means the company is not investing excess assets. Most of the time, it should be between about 1.2 and 2%. Sorry, no, not percent. 1.2 and 2. So it's also can be known as net working capital. There's a lot of that goes into this. But this is one example of a factor that you need to understand. And some companies, working capital matters more than others. Some companies, you have a large amount of working capital. Like a car company, auto company. You have huge plants, equipment, materials, etc. Now, to see more in-depth definition and examples, go to our friends at investopedia.com.
How much risk is in your portfolio right now? Risk is essential to a growing portfolio, but how much is too much for you? Take our free risk analysis quiz. Just takes 3 minutes or so, and it'll help you understand how much risk you feel comfortable with. And then, if you'd like, you can find out if your current portfolio is a good match. It's right there on investtalk.com, and it's free. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
Hey, Stephen, Justin. My name is Alex. I'm actually stationed out in Japan, and I'm a huge fan of you guys' show. I listen to you nearly every day before I go to work because I have a long bus ride. My question for you guys today is on C-Core Holdings, Inc., CKH. And I'm looking at the graph, and as of June 2nd, there was a huge, like, $15 gap down. And from what my understanding is, stocks have a tendency of retracing back up to the level that it dropped down from, and I would really love to hear you guys' opinion on buying this stock in particular at the levels that it's at now. Thanks again. Once again, I love you guys' show. I really look forward to hearing from you on your next podcast. Thank you.
All right, he's looking at C-Core Holdings. CKH is the symbol. They provide equipment services mainly to the offshore oil and gas and marine transportation industries worldwide. Clearly, they're having some issues, right? The oil industry is not in a bull market, say that. And a lot of oil and oil service companies are kind of on their heels. And CKH or C-Core Holdings is really no different. They're still burning cash. Their operating cash flow has fallen from about $400 million in 2010 to less than $100 million over the trailing 12 months. So profitability has declined dramatically. Earnings are only supposed to be 42 cents this year, 19 cents next year, and a $34 stock in a declining industry with a decent amount of debt in their balance sheet. I don't like it. I would not be buying this. Negative return on investment capital. It was never that high to begin with. And they're they're just not doing very well. And if oil continues to go lower, then I think this offshore industry is going to continue to be in trouble. And this is a small player, and they're probably the ones that are going to be, you know, crushed the quickest because of their reliance on that. But I would not be buying C-Corp Holdings here. Let's go to Bill in Northern California. How are you doing, Bill?
Hey, fine. Thank you, Justin. Yeah, you've seen the news on L Brands. I know you guys sold that in your account, and I have some in another account, too.
Yeah.
Just wondering what your analysis of the current situation is there.
Well, I think the market's really getting too worked up over the decline in sales at Victoria's Secret. And mainly that's because they got rid of a line. They got rid of swimsuits. And so it's looking like their earnings are declining in a dramatic way, when in reality they're not. Bath & Body Works is doing really well also. And if you look at their gross margins, once again, remain steady, over 40%. So if they were having issues selling and getting traffic and people into the stores, then they would have to be discounting their products a lot more, and they're not doing that. So this is all I think way overblown. I'm still a big fan of L Brands. Victoria's Secret to me is a great brand. I don't see any. I see the odds of them really dying in any meaningful way of extremely low. So here at a 5.5% dividend, really good dividend coverage. To me, this is one of my favorite names in the market today. So I want to pick up more down here. I want to buy it hand over fist.
So this is caught up in the whole, you know, anti retail hysteria kind of thing.
Exactly. And they discontinued their swimsuit line, which was a decent portion of their business. They just didn't see the margins. You know, they didn't feel like they were competitive in that space. So they discontinued it, and so it's looking like their sales are getting hit a lot worse than they really are. And to me, I'm looking at margins, and margins have stayed strong, and so I see no reason why L Brands, which is the parent of Victoria's Secret and Bath & Body Works, I see no really material issues longer term.
Very good. Well, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
No problem, Bill. Thanks for calling. That was L Brands. LB is the symbol. Now, you're listening to Invest Talk. Don't hold back. We have about 9 minutes left in the show. We're going into our last segment right after this break. So if you're going to call with a question, you better do it now. So we'll get to that coming up at 888-99-CHART. Let's go to Jay in Fremont. How are you doing, Jay?
Hi, I have a question on ticker DLTR, Dollar Tree.
Okay.
It's fallen down lately, and I want to know if it's a good buy at this price. Thank you.
All right. Looking at Dollar Tree, I have support around $64.50, and now it's at $66.40. And once again, another retail play. Is it a good value here? It's decent. It's not my favorite dollar store. We actually own another dollar store name in some of our managed accounts, so I'll let you go and figure out which one that is. So Dollar Tree wouldn't be our favorite one, but there is some support at $64.50. But to me, the big support where I would say, okay, this is where you kind of really need to buy it for the longer term, would be $53.60, right? Or in the low to mid 50s. That's where I say, okay, I got to step in and pick up Dollar Tree, DLTR, but not yet. I think are we going to a voicemail? What are we doing? We're going to a voicemail. Okay, let's try one more question before the hour is up at 888-99-CHART. That's our 24-hour number.
Hey, Steve, Brian here. Just a quick question. So I'm 22, just started my first job out of college. I have about 17,000 student loans. Would you suggest paying off the loans as fast as possible, or should I start throwing some of my income into a 401k account that the firm that I work for matches? Thanks.
I would definitely do the 401k. You definitely try. You want to get that match, whatever that match is. Make sure you get the full employer match. I don't know how generous they are, but if you can get that, do the full employer match. And then anything above that, then you can start paying down your student loans. And that's the order I would go by. But I like the fact that you're trying to get rid of your student loans, get rid of that debt. It's always smart to do so. Hope that answers your question. Let's do one more question before the hour is up.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Jake calling from York, Pennsylvania. I love the podcast. I listen to it every day. Calling to get your thoughts on Macy's, symbol M. I know that the retail sector is getting pretty beat up, and I know Macy's is having its share of struggles, but I can't help but notice that the yield on this is 6%, and I'm just wondering if it's a good contrarian play. Interested in your thoughts. Thanks.
This is a great example and the follow-up from what I talked about earlier, why you don't focus solely on the dividend. While the dividend is decent now, you have to look at the business as a whole. And to me, Macy's longer term is in trouble. For me, L Brands, Victoria's Secret, Bath & Body Works, they have good brands, okay? And people want to buy their brands. Do people really care when they walk into a Macy's what brands they're buying? No, they don't, okay? Macy's doesn't really have their own brand of merchandise that they can sell elsewhere, right? And that people really flock to get the Macy's branded XYZ, right? Whereas Victoria's Secret, women flock to buy their bras and underwear because they like that, that's comfortable, it fits them well, okay? So that's the difference in the retail landscape. And when you're looking right now, there's a lot, there's some companies besides just L Brands that has been thrown out with the bathwater, the baby being thrown out with the bathwater. They have great brands, and they can sustain themselves even in the era of Amazon. It's the ones like Macy's and all the department stores where they're selling other people's merchandise, other people's brands that people can go and get anywhere and really focus on getting the cheapest price. And Macy's is a good example of, you look at the margins are starting to really decline, and that worries me. And so while Macy's is okay in the short term, I don't think that dividend's safe long term, and I think it's only going to continue lower. So I would not be buying Macy's. Thanks for the call, though. Time's up for this hour. Looking at Steve's portfolio checkup schedule, he'll be in San Jose later this month on the 18th. That's a week from tomorrow. I think he has one or two slots left. Or you can meet you via Skype or phone from anywhere, or you could do it with me as well. I know I have a couple early next week, a couple FaceTime calls that I'm going to jump on with listeners. So to reserve your hour for an individual portfolio review with myself or Steve, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of KP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Steve Peasley and the whole KP family, thank you for being with us. Let's get together again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.